strength, Lord, a greater understanding of revelation, Father, that when we press the battle to know what we're doing and where we stand and who we are, Father. So I pray you'd come this morning and take this word and make it such a reality to every heart, Lord. Make it a reality that we walk from here. We know, have a greater understanding. We know, Father, we can stand against the devil, can stand against all his attacks, his traps, all the weaknesses that we have, and we can overcome because you called us for that purpose, Lord. Won't you come now, Lord, and just make yourself real to each one. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you want to read from Hebrews, we're going to read Hebrews 11 and 5. And, please pray for me that my voice won't give out. I got something that is just burning on my heart for a while. I don't want to say it. And I believe God will have his way this morning. Hebrews 11, 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. My, you may be seated. He had a testimony that he pleased God. Am I going to try this, brother? Brother Todd? Is that working? Not yet. We're good? All right. I'm not here because something's wrong. How's that? All right. Praise the Lord. I love technology, don't you? If we all had voice like Brother Jerry, we wouldn't need these things. Some of us a little weaker. Testimony, friends, is not what you did. It's what God did. And so when Enoch had a testimony, it was what God was testifying about him, not what Enoch was testifying about himself. Because we've seen a lot of people, and I've done it, you might have done it too, where we testify something, find out it really wasn't true after all. Because it was my own testimony about myself. I used to play basketball. I thought I was the best guy on the court. No one could beat me. Well, that was just not true. I could get beat, right? But what does God say about us is what's important, because when we come and talk about, when it comes to our life, our Christianity, we need to be testifying the things God says about us, not our own ideas. Because our own ideas can get us wrong. Our own ideas can be all confused and everything. But like Enoch, he walked with God. He pleased God. Think about that. For 500 years, he pleased God. And you say, how did he do that? Do you think he never made any mistakes? Was he born in sin like you and I? He made mistakes, friends. So then how was it that he pleased God? Well, we'll look at that as we get to this. But what we want to look at here is, what is God saying about this? God must witness who we are, because our own witness doesn't mean all that much. It's got to be God witnessing who we are, and he reveals it to us from glory to glory, a little by little. He doesn't just give it to you all at one time, because you grow into it, because if you just gave it all at one time, our character would be like spoiled little babies. We get everything we want right when we want it, and that's not the way he does it. So instead of that, by little, we grow into this. We grow into this realization of who we are. Let me read you a quote here that Brother Branham said. The only way you can actually be a Christian, would you like to know what he said? The only way that you can actually be a Christian is for Christ to identify himself in you. It don't matter what you call yourself. How many millions of people in this world call themselves Christians? And their Christ is a million miles away because he doesn't identify who they are. But when you know who you are is when you see Christ identified in you, and you say, this is Christ testifying who I am. We can say all kinds of things about ourselves. Well, I'm a message believer. Well, does Christ identify you as a message believer, or is it just your church denominational attendance? You just go to message church, so that makes you a message believer, right? Not according to what the Bible says, not according to what God thinks about it. He says, I'm going to identify who you are, and you're going to know who you are. And then when Satan comes against you and said, Phil, you're not going in the rapture. I said, okay, Satan says I'm not. What did God say about it? See, that's what makes you a believer, friends, because you take what God said. You can either accept Satan's gospel and say, well, if I get good enough, or you can accept Christ's gospel that says you're already justified. You're already to that place. You're already without spot or wrinkle. You say, Phil, I make so many mistakes. Join humanity. We all make a lot of mistakes. But what does God say about that? Is the blood sufficient for you or is it not? Is grace sufficient or is it not? Well, when I get good enough, Brother Phil, well, guess what? You need to go start saving us some beans and potatoes for the tribulation because you're not going in the rapture with that kind of testimony. The only way you can actually be a Christian is for Christ to identify himself in you. We have a stinger there. Isn't it true? We have a stinger. Well, I believe this and I believe that. Whoop-de-doo what you believe. What does God say about it? What does he say about you? He said, I hope everybody on the tape gets that too. You say, I'm Pentecostal. That don't mean a thing. I'm a message believer. That don't mean a thing. That's just a brand. That's no more than calling, Brother Brandon said, that's no more than calling yourself a hog. That's no more, well, I belong to this club. I belong to this lodge. Well, I'm a message believer. I go to this message church. Good. You should. And yet, if Christ don't identify you as one of his, it's not going to put you in a rapture. He said, that don't mean a thing. Is Christ identifying you? That's when he has recognized you. See, that's when he gives you the Holy Ghost. That's when you're born again, when he recognizes your faith. And you can try and, you know, you believe and you know, I want the Holy Ghost. But when he recognizes that you're actually walking in faith and not in because you're trying to live good enough to receive the Holy Ghost, because you can't. You don't earn the Holy Ghost. You don't earn it. It's by grace. You believe what he said about you, and he accepts your faith, and he gives you that seal, and then you're saved, and you're done. I mean, it's over. When that concept first, I realized that when you're sealed away, you can't be lost. I thought, oh, my goodness, it must be the easiest thing once you get that. Oh, see, that's one of my own witnesses that just completely ridiculous. That's when the battle starts, friend. That's when the battle starts, is when you get that seal. Oh my. He said, I spoke with tongues. Devils do too. I shouted. Mohammedans, Buddhas, everyone shouts. Indians scream at the snake dance. They do cults, clans, and everything else scream and holler. He said, well, we worship God. Go get on YouTube and watch some of those denominational churches worship. They make us look like amateurs. And it's the genuine Holy Ghost. How do you tell them that they don't have Christ when the Holy Spirit is there doing all kinds of things in their midst? They have all kinds of supernatural phenomena. They're healing the sick. They're casting out devils. And it's genuine. It's really happening. He's healing their sick. God heals everybody. Anyone who ever got healed, God healed them. When Adolf Hitler got sick, God healed him. Think about it. Satan never healed anybody. It's genuine, but it's not Christ because the word isn't there being manifest. How do you tell them that they don't have it? Because they say, the Holy Spirit is here. I feel him. I just cast the devil out of this person. Yeah, that's good. And you don't run them down. You don't belittle them for that. But friends, that doesn't mean they have Christ at all because it's not the word for their day being manifest. They holler and shout at a baseball game, but when Christ is identified in you, identifying himself, then you are Christ-like, which the word Christian means to be Christ-like. There's your identification. You know, when someone says, you know, I can tell you're a real Christian. You know what they're saying? You remind me of Jesus Christ. You remind me of Jesus Christ, because in their mind, even if they're not a Christian, they know what Jesus Christ was like. They have an idea. You see, there's something different about you. You remind me of Jesus Christ. It's hard to give you a better compliment than that, isn't it? Even when maybe they don't even know exactly what they're talking about. He said, it's not an expression of some church that we should express something. Your identity is not in your church. It's not some church. Well, I'm a message believer, so I dress the right way. I go to the right church. You know, I do all these things the way the government says that I'm supposed to do it. That's not it at all. Brother Branham said, so many times we try to convert people to the government, to the rules to follow. We raise kids to follow the rules, and we should, because until they are the age of accountability, mom and dad are the Holy Ghost. But they got to get to the place where they no longer are just following the rules, but it's because it's an identity. There's something inside of them that is Christ, that they're doing this because something inside is doing it through them instead of just following rules. And until they get that place, can Christ not identify them? They're identifying themselves as a believer, but Christ is not identifying them as a believer. It's a life that you don't live yourself, but he comes and in you and lives by himself, and you become a prisoner to any human intellectual being at all. You're led by the Spirit. So it's something that we can't do. I cannot live to be a good enough Christian. I cannot live the Christian life. And we can't do it, friends. And we can do it to a human ability. And that's what so many people do. But those are the ones who are going to come up and be the foolish virgins and the different people like that. But for the bride, you have to have Christ identifying himself in you. He has to witness. He has to testify that you please him. His testimony. I'm going to read out of John 5 for a little bit. You can turn if you want to. I'm going to start at verse 30. Jesus is speaking. He said, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. We have to live our lives seeking the will of the Father, not what I want, not my judgment, not what I'm trying to accomplish for myself, but what does God want me to do? What does he want me to preach this morning? What does he want you to do when you're in your life, when you're going to buy? How does he want you to raise your kids? How does he want you to conduct yourself at your job? All the things, you know, when he wants you to talk to someone, because a lot of times we go up and try to witness to someone, and it's not God's will at all that we're trying to witness to him, and we just stumble over ourselves. But other times he says, I want you to talk to that person, but we don't feel like it. So he said, now you grieved him again, because we need to be led by the Spirit in everything he do. And if there's something we need to recognize, it's God wants, he wants a part of every little detail in your life. He loves you so much. He wants to know all about you. He wants to show you all about him. He wants something. He's concerned with the socks you put on this morning. He's concerned with what you have for breakfast. He's concerned with what you're going to have for lunch. He's concerned who you're going to fellowship with this week. He's concerned about all these things. It's like when a boy and girl, they fall in love with each other and they can't get it. Oh, they just want to talk about each other all the time. And everyone else around is like, Cagney, would you please talk about something else? It's just like, oh my goodness, they're not that wonderful. Wait till you get married, you'll find out. So I'm told. I don't know. But that's the way God is. He is so in love with you. He just wants to know everything about you. Tell him. Tell him about these things in your life. You know, well, I take all the big things to him. Well, your relationship isn't right. Tell him the little things. Talk about the things that's going through your mind. Instead of sitting there and figuring out in your own mind, tell him about it. This is what's going on, God. This is what I'm thinking. What do you think about this? He's a person. He wants to know you. He wants that relationship. Verse 31, if I bear witness of myself, my own witness is not true. Listen to what he said. Jesus himself said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. What's he saying? He's not saying that he's lying. He's saying that you cannot just take my word for it. Isn't that amazing? As the man Jesus speaking, he said, you cannot just take my word for it. You got to have something greater than that. That sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? He said it. He said, if I bear witness to myself, my witness is not true. There is another that bears witness of me. I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. So he's saying, now I can stand and say something, but if God don't come and back up what I'm saying, then you don't have any reason to believe what I'm saying. And if we would take our ministry that way, friends, if we would take we follow a ministry where God backs up what they're saying instead of just because they can preach. Because they will start tickling your ears and saying things you want to hear. And they fill up churches with people who want to hear the kind of preaching they want to hear. That is the cutest kid. I'm sorry. But friends, what we have to do is we have to find a ministry. We have to follow a ministry where we see God backing up and witnessing what that person's preaching is true. Otherwise, there's no reason to follow that ministry. Ye sent unto John, he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was, talking about John, he was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. See, he said, John bear witness, but I have a greater witness than John because the things that I do bear witness who I am. It was God identifying himself through Jesus Christ. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Listen to this. My goodness, I've lost my place. I'm sorry. I have a greater witness than that of John. Look. For the Father which has given me the works to finish the same works that I do, bear witness to me that the Father has sent me. John himself, his witness was not enough for John. He said, I have greater witness than John. Here was John, and John said, there he is, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And Jesus said, that's not enough. What? He was the third coming of Elijah, and Jesus said, I have a greater witness than that. What if Brother Branham had said something about you and witnessed something about you? That would be enough, wouldn't it? What's he talking about? What happened as soon as John baptized him? John said, this is him. He got baptized. He got baptized. What happened? The Holy Spirit came and said, this is my son in whom I'm pleased to dwell in. Right? That was the greater witness, because what if all he had was John's witness? And so John said, this is him. He got baptized. He went out doing Messiah stuff, right? A couple months later, a couple disciples from John show up and say, hey, by the way, are you really him? Are you the Messiah? Now, if all he had was John's witness, where is he at? He said, you said I was. I'm out here thinking I'm Messiah because John said I was the Messiah. He was the prophet. He was the forerunner. He said I was to come. And now he turns around and said, no, I'm not sure if you're him or not. Well, where does that leave Jesus? He's got the same problem. He's shaking. He said, well, if you don't know John, I don't know. You're the one who said it was me. What is it, friends? We need to hear that voice spoken through that person. We need to hear the pastor preach to us. We need to have this coming to us. But it's got to be a voice inside the voice comes and identifies, yes, what he's saying is true. This is you. This is who I'm talking about. But it's got to be a revelation. And no man can give you a revelation. Brother Brandon couldn't give you a revelation. Jerry can't. Brother Phil, your mom or dad. Nobody can give you the revelation except the Holy Spirit himself. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal himself to you. And we hear it, and we listen, we believe what we hear, but it's got to be that voice comes behind that and says, yes, I'm talking about you. This is you. How many people they think they're born again because a pastor told them there was? Can you imagine what Satan's going to do to that person? He's going to kick him down the street. That's all you got? Just a man's word? John's witness itself wasn't enough for Jesus. It's got to be that voice that speaks to the inner being. It comes to you many times through the ministry. Sometime when you're praying, when you're reading the Bible, when you're listening to a message or whatever. But God has to come and speak through that voice. That's why millions of people claim to believe the message. They listen to the Brother Branham all the time. They even call it the voice of God. Haven't heard of God speak to them for years. Because all they're hearing is that man's voice. It's got to be greater. It's got to be God witnessing. He has to identify himself in you that this is the truth. This is who you are. He has to witness who you are. Just like he witnessed about Enoch, he has to witness who you are. He had to witness who Jesus was. And then friends, when he comes, recognize when he said to Jesus, this is my son in whom I'm pleased to dwell in, he says the same thing about you. Hey, you have to hear that same. Now, he's not going to probably come down in a dove and speak those words out like that. But somehow, however he talks to you, he's going to say, you are my son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. You are my daughter in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Because when you're born again, that's exactly what he's saying. He's saying, I'm pleased to dwell in you. And you say, how can you please to dwell in this body? He says, well, you want to believe that, or do you want to believe what I just told you? Who are you? Who are you? Do you believe who you are? Amen. I'm going to skip down with it. He said, I receive not honor from men, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you. I come in my Father's name, you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. Someone else comes and he identifies who you are. Well, you're a believer. You believe the Bible. You believe the word. You're a believer. Well, I like that. But is there a vindication of that ministry? Is God backing it up and saying it, or is it just coming from that man? Is it just that man telling you who you are? Because you know what? That's scratching my itching ear. I like to hear that kind of preaching. But is it God vindicating it or not? Is the word being produced? Come in the Father's name, you receive not. Another come in his own name, you'll receive him. How can you believe which receive honor one of another, see not the honor that cometh from God only? Oh my goodness. You know those three things that get preachers, right? Women, money, and popularity. Right there, friends. How many preachers fall for that? We receive honor of one another. Oh, I want people to think I'm a great preacher. I want people to think, oh, Brother Phil, that was really good. I want people to think I'm a great prayer warrior. Oh, hey, I have great faith. Oh, boy, I really can sing well. And all these, we receive honor from one another instead of from God himself. Because when we receive the honor to ourselves, we're not giving it to God. Do not think I'll accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Brother Branham, in whom you trust. Many disappointed people on judgment day are going to stand there thinking, how did I miss the rapture? I believe every word the prophet said. He's going to stand there and say, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. Because when the word came to straighten you up, you loved your doctrine more than you loved Christ. You love your idea of being a message believer more than you love Christ. You love following that man or that man or that ministry more than you love Christ. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Oh my. Christ identifying yourself. Let me get a little bit more now your testimony. I'm going to kind of challenge you this morning what your testimony is. You know, in church, it's easy to have a strong testimony. When you're up here preaching, the anointing is here. It makes you fearless. It makes you ready to believe anything. Just don't talk to me Sunday night. Monday morning, the anointing is gone. And you see your reality. You see your weakness. You see who you are, and Satan just pounding at you. Do you have the same testimony then? Or do you hedge your bets a little bit? I'm healed. Monday morning, well, God's going to heal me. It's humanity, friends. It's humanity. Now, let me get off this subject a little bit, if you don't mind. Abraham, father of faith, right? We're all the seed of Abraham because of his faith. And yet, in all that, look at all the mistakes Abraham made. Look at unbelief he did. But where was it? It was all in his mind. He never quit believing from here because it was sealed in there, and he could not quit believing. But up in his mind, he did. You know, he went down to that king, and that king wanted to take Sarah. And he lied and said, tell him that I'm your brother so he don't kill me. Well, he couldn't kill him. God had told Abraham, you're going to have a child through Sarah. It was impossible for that king to kill Abraham. What's he lying about? What's he afraid of? Because up here in his mind, he stopped believing. He started doubting God's own witness. He started doubting what God said to him. And he started, but down in here, God said, yeah, but in his heart, he never disbelieved. Brother, sister, that's what happens when you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And that word comes in you, and it keeps feeding on that word. And in here, it never quits believing. I don't care what you do, what's going on in your mind, down in your heart, you never quit believing at all. Now, can you testify to that, or do you keep looking at what all the evidence Satan puts against you? Yeah, but look at the mistakes you made. Look at your desires. Well, my desires are changed. Yeah, but your old nature hasn't. In your mind, your old body hasn't. Your spirit, that's still where the battle is. Your old nature and your soul has changed, absolutely. But in your mind, you still desire things in the world. Don't tell me you don't. Otherwise, there's no temptation. See, I don't have any desire for the things of the world. You're a hypocrite, friend. Because your mind does. That part of you that's not regenerated still desires that. Otherwise, well, how would Satan tempt you? It's why here in an atmosphere like this, Satan can come against you with all kinds of temptation stuff here. He don't bother to waste his time because he knows that you're going to kick him out. Because in this atmosphere, it's easy to believe. But when you're on your own. See, that's where the real battle is. What are you doing then? What are you believing then? What's your confession then? And especially when you do fall, when you make a mistake, what's your confession then? Are you still a believer? Do you repent? Do you get up and keep going, or you just sit there and feel sorry for yourself? Brother Bram said you run off like a coward somewhere. You make a mistake, you run off like a coward. I just have to wait till I get to church the next time and get right with God. Please. This is an individual walk. This isn't you in this group. This isn't the church getting you right. This is you and God by yourself, individually. He wants that relationship with you. When you make a mistake, he said, I knew you were going to do that. Get up. Here comes Abraham and Sarah. Sarah's 88 years old, and she's, I can't really move. Nobody in here is that old. You 88, you're not even close. Almost. You'd be 80, right, Brother Jim? Next month. 88, 89, and here comes Sarah. She can't hardly move along. Abraham, how are you and Sarah? We're doing pretty good. How many kids have you had? You recognize that devil right away. None, brother. But we're going to. Imagine the ridicule they went through. The ridicule Noah went through. The ridicule that you go through when you confess, I'm going to get a body change. I'm going in a rapture. That's been preached for 2,000 years, brother. Oh, but you're all of a sudden the one, right? Oh, this is the time. It's been going, that's been preached since way back 2,000 years ago, but now you're special. Yeah. Because God told me. God said I was. We find our Lord never did anything just at random. Every move he made was ordained of the Father. Isn't that amazing? We just go at random. He said, I always do those things which pleases the Father. So every move that he made had a meaning, and it was to please God. Oh, I would say here, would it not be wonderful if we could have a testimony like that, that we always do that which pleases God? Friends, you're going to have Enoch's testimony that you please God or you're not going in the rapture. The only way Enoch got to go into his own little personal rapture was because he pleased God. And the only way the bride's going to go in the rapture is because she has his testimony that you please God. Now, what is your testimony? What are you going to say about that? Well, Brother Phil, as soon as I get over this, as soon as I overcome that, as soon as I overcome that, as soon as you find yourself in the tribulation for not believing what God said about you, then you're going to say, oh, I guess Phil was right. It's hard to do. You ain't kidding. It's the hardest thing. It's the greatest battle ever fought. It's to take God's word over Satan's evidence. Take what God says about you over what Satan says about you. It's the hardest thing to ever. It's the greatest battle a human being ever did. It's to take God's word against all the evidence against it and say, yeah, but God's still true. You ever stand there and there's something on and you need to confess it and you just can't hardly get it out of your mouth? It's almost a physical thing, like I just can't even say those words, but you know God wants you to say it anyways. You know what I'm talking about. If you're a believer, you do. Oh, he said, wouldn't it be great if we could do that always as pleases God? He never did until he heard the Father, showed him what to do. Oh, if we would wait like, only wait like that till we found. Yes, sir, he said the Son does nothing within himself or can do nothing but what he sees the Father doeth. If Jesus Christ himself had to be led by the Spirit like that and he was sinless, how much do we need to be led by the Spirit? How much do we need to be led? How much do we need to hear from him? Know how to do, know what to say. He said the Son does nothing within himself or can do nothing but what he sees the Father do. The Father worketh, the Son worketh hitherto. In other words, he just acted out of drama what God told him to do. God already has it planned out what he wants us to do. It's all predestinated. He just wants to reveal it to you. This is what I want you to do. Play your part in this drama. Play your part in this play. And everyone has their own part. And he reveals part of that to the bride. He reveals their part. What is that part, that mystery? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And brother and sister, that revelation is only for the elect. It's got to be revealed. This great mystery can only be revealed to the elect. No one else can get it. And so if you're sitting here this morning and you recognize that this mystery has been revealed to you, what is that saying about you? What is God saying? He says, you are my elect. Would you please believe it? Will you please just believe who I say you are? Brother Branham said, it's only for the elect. No one else can receive that revelation. Everyone else will be deceived. Isn't that just brutal? Now, some will be saved. Don't get me wrong. But the bride, only the elect, this great revelation is only for them. And if you can receive it, you are the most blessed person. And when you see that and you know it's happening and you know you're going in the rapture, oh, this just kills me. And yet, how many times we stumble over Satan's lies? How many times we fall into Satan's traps? How many times do we take Satan's idea and we get an attitude or we get a little down or we feel a little bit lost and lonely and, oh, I'm not really sure anymore. And yet we know for sure what God has said to us, and yet we are so clear, so close, that Satan still gets us all beat down sometime. He did it to Elijah. He did it to John the Baptist. He did it to William Branham. He does it to you. Jesus felt that way too. He sure did. He felt the same things we feel. Why? Because Satan's just a really good adversary. He's been studying humanity since humanity's been around. He knows more about you than you do. He knows what he has planned for you tomorrow. You don't. You might not get through the end of this day without calling Brother Jerry. Brother Jerry, pray for me. Pray for me. Oh, my goodness. Such and such has happened. It's weak little human beings. God said, yep, those are the ones that I'm going to use to show my great power. I'm going to find the weakest so that they can be strong in you. Just think that a person so yielded unto God identified himself in there in that body. Him and God became one. I and my Father are one. My Father dwelleth in me. I do that which pleases the Father. What if the Christian today could have a testimony like that? You'd be a masterpiece right here in Yuma on the street. If you're a washwoman out there behind the wash tub, you'd be a masterpiece to God. When you can say, I do that always which pleases God, the whole world can see the work of Jesus Christ reflecting in you. A lot of times they don't even recognize what it is. They just see there's something different about you. Some of them love it. Some of them hate it. Some of them respect that you're different. Some of them hate that you're different. And you know the reality is most of the people who hate it are the religious people. You want to make some enemies? Live the Christ-like life around message believers who don't have it. Around Christian people, a lot of them. Because it shows up the darkness in their life. He and the Word was one. In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was made flesh. So he and the Word became one, and that Word could express and could show to the world that example what man should be. And man can't be that in himself. You can't do this in yourself. God has to identify himself in you. That's the only way to be a real Christian. There's no way to educate to it. There's no way to join it. There's no way to baptize it. There's no way of doing it. Only kill it and let it be born again. A new nature comes in. That's the only way. Kill that nature of yourself that you might become. And then the word becomes a living thing. It just expresses itself through you. Then you're looking in the looking glass and the people see you as a mirror. People won't read the Bible, so God made you a Bible. There you are, people looking at you. And if they're looking at you and they just see a nice, holy person, well, you wear your hair right, you dress right, you do all these things right, they just see religion. That's not enough, friends. They need to see the life of Christ manifest to you. It's something that you can't do. And as long as you try it, he takes his hand out. Okay, you keep trying there, Phil. When you're ready to surrender and die to that old religious thing, I'll take over. And I can do things in you that you just only dream about. But you got to die to that old, that human nature to be religious, to be a good person, to try to please God, to be Cain. Got to be revealed to you. God has to speak to you and tell you these things. Let me finish up here. Amen. When after a while the church, when it can stand that place and every seat has been brought to a spot, they'll be gone. We all must be brought to what spot? What is spot he's talking about? The same testimony that Enoch had. He pleased God. She pleased God. When the entire bride has got to that point where you had the Enoch's testimony, that you had the testimony that you walked with God and you pleased God, then we're going to be gone. That's the spot he's talking about. They don't know what happened to them. One will be going one way, one will be going to the pastor's house, one will be going here, down there. The first you know, they're gone. For Enoch was the type. God took him and he was found not. By the way, do you hear what he said? One will go into the pastor's house. All those people don't believe in pastors. The bride, some of them are going to the pastor's house. Let me keep going. The new birth is Christ, is a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that's the new birth. Now, what are you going to do when you get all that group together where the revelation is perfectly in harmony and God is expressing it through his word by the same actions, the same things he did making the word manifest? Friends, it's got to get to that point where that word is manifest in us. It's got to be there where he is, the word for this day is happening. It's out there. It's a light shining. So what are you going to do when you get all those people together all to that same place? That doesn't mean we're all gathered in one spot. Physically, it means we're all gathered in Christ. Expressing it, making the word manifest. Oh, if the church only knew its position. Oh, if the church only knew its position, it will one day. Then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. You've heard that quote 1,000 times. And we all sit here and say, yes, sir, I'm part of the bride. God has vindicated. He has proved it to me. He has identified himself. And yet he says, when we all know our position, then the rapture is going to go. So here's the reality, friends. We grow into this little by little. Like I said at the beginning, it don't come just like that. It's one revelation after another. From glory to glory, he's changing me. Until what? Until you recognize fully who you are. You are Christ in this age. You are manifesting the word for this day. It is Christ himself and not you, that person, not that flesh, but Christ through you is the light of the world. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. That is Christ in this day. And the only way that anyone's going to see Christ is they see it through the bride. You had a little baby, most of your parents. That little baby when they're born into the world, the most helpless creature on earth, as far as animal life, there's no animal ever born that's more helpless than a human baby. For a long time. And he very slowly starts recognizing mama. And a lot of times the first word he says is mama. He just slowly knows. Now who are you, mama? Tell me who you are, mama. That's all he knows. Then after a while, maybe he'll start saying dada. And if he says dada before mama, mom gets jealous. He gets to be a little older. He starts crawling, walking around. And he says, go to dada. And he runs to daddy. Go to mom. He runs to mom. Why? He starts recognizing who daddy is. You recognize your spiritual growth? You have a little problem. You fall and skin your knees spiritually, you run to daddy. You're still just a little baby. You don't fully realize who you are. But you grow and you start recognizing, you start having better fellowship. And you go, of course, you got to go through your teenage years, which is really great for the parents. We all have those teenage years in our spiritual life too. A little rebellion. But then you get past that. And you start having real fellowship with your mom and dad. This is what God has brought us to. And you realize it. And finally, dad says, okay, you're my son. You know, you can do this, you can do whatever. And you get your full independence to do whatever is the right thing to do. That's what it is when we recognize who we are, friends. God gives you that authority. He gives you that independence. He says, now, I know you're only going to do what I ask you to do. You're going to only please the Father. So here's your authority. Speak to the wind. Speak to that devil. Cast that demon out. Heal that person. Do these things because you have recognized who you are. And your fellowship, you and God have become one. He says, now you're my wife. We're married. Now bring forth my life. Bring forth a child called Christ. That's who you are, friends. That's exactly who you are. He said, I'm only saying this not to mix up doctrine, but to straighten it out, that we might get away from this fear and scare. You don't know who you are. Boy, preach it, Brother Phil. He just nailed me. How many times I have a besetting sin and some, you know, I stumble with this and, you know, I go for a while and then here it goes again and, you know, the stumble of this and you say, well, how can it be? How can I kill? I still have these weaknesses. He says, you don't know who you are yet. You still have a fear. What if I'm not born? What would a born again person have these problems? Well, Brother Branham showed us his weaknesses. Look at all the weaknesses the prophets had down through the Bible. Look at all the holy people that we look as our heroes of the faith, and we should. Look at Abraham. Would you look to Abraham and say, Abraham, you were perfect. You didn't make any mistakes. He said, you're lying. I made mistakes. He said, I'm trying to get you away from the fear or scare. You don't know who you are. If we would recognize, and friends, you can tell yourself all day long that you're a bride and don't do you a bit of good. You need to have that confession, but that's not enough. Jesus himself said, if I witness to myself, that witness isn't true, but I have one who greater one who witnesses who I am. And that's the same thing, brother and sister, that you need this morning. If you need a greater witness as witnesses, you are my bride. I have been telling you that for years. I want you to start confessing it. I want you to start believing it, and watch what I can do through you. Watch what I can do through you when you start believing what I'm telling you. I only do that which pleases the Father. Oh, it's easy for me to say that right here. Tomorrow morning, it's going to be more difficult. Because that's when the reality strikes of living out there. Because this anointing does not stay with you, friends. If this anointing stayed with you, you wouldn't have to walk in faith. You just walk in the anointing. Can you confess right now? If you're born again, can you confess, I only do that which pleases the Father? Oh, I twist and turn when it comes to that. Well, yeah, to an extent. No. Do you know who you are? You've been married to Jesus Christ. That new birth is your marriage. You've been accepted by him. He loves you so much. He says, oh, you can do no wrong in my eyes. You know, that boy and girl, they're so in love with each other before they get married. And, you know, he just can do no wrong in her eyes. Everything he does is so cute and so perfect. And that's how Jesus sees you right now. That doesn't change. Sometime, of course, you do things that don't please him. He says, I know you'll repent. I'm going to cover that up. I'm going to wash that away. You never did it to begin with. Do you believe that? Do you believe in that justification? It's literally forgotten. Do you believe it for other people? Because if you do, you won't ever bring up their past. An accusation. Because, see, if you bring up their past in an accusation, I'm not talking about like, I'll testify, God set me free from different things, giving glory to God. But if I go to Brother Gene, and Brother Gene, let's say he used to struggle with greed. I'm going to just greed, because Gene's not a greedy person. Brother Gene, you might think you're a Christian, but I remember 20 years ago, you were greedy. You know what I just did? I just made a false accusation against you because God's looking and says, not according to my books, he wasn't. That's gone. Now guess who has to answer to God? False accuser. Because I brought up something that is in the sea of God's forgetfulness. You need to be careful what we say about each other, brother and sister. We'd be held accountable. He said, you don't know who you are. You're not going to be, but now you are the sons of God. You always were the sons of God. Go ahead, Stan. Let's stop. You always were the sons of God. All we're doing is coming to a place we recognize who we are. All we're doing is coming to a place where we reckon we have that fellowship with God. We have that communion, one with the Word. You and the Word become one. You are the Word. The Word inside of you comes out and manifests himself. And you can say, I and my Father are one. Yes, you can say that. In fact, you will say that. I and my Father are one. You say, oh, how can you say that? They tried to stone Jesus for saying that. And the message believers and these Pharisees around this message were trying to stone you with quotes, and you say, I and my Father are one, and you're going to say, the Father confesses that I am pleased to dwell in you. You are my son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. You are my daughter in whom I'm pleased to dwell. And you're going to confess that, and you're going to stand out like some kind of a freak, some kind of weirdo, some kind of thing like, oh, you think you're special. You think you're the only holy one. No, I think I'm part of the bride of Christ because he has identified himself in me. That's what Christ is looking for, is someone who will take him at his word and believe him. It's that simple. That young man, he goes to that girl. He says, I love you. I'm going to marry you. She said, well, can you take care of me? Well, I got a good job. I got a house. Yeah, I know, but I don't know. God wants us to surrender and say, hey, I trust you. You're going to take care of me. You got it all in control. How many things do we have to go through before we start believing that? Look at all the trials and hardship and all the things we go through. So God will break down that sense of, I kind of control this. I kind of can protect myself. Give up your own protection, friends. Give it up. Let him be your everything. Like, trust him completely. Just put your hand out there and say, take my hand and lead me. Amen. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful this morning that you would come. And just Father, to tell us who we are, just to make it real. To increase our faith, Lord, by speaking to us, by identifying yourself through us. When we look at our lives, we can see how you've done this and you've done that and all these things. And it seems so simple, Lord. And that's where we stumble, because how can it be so simple? But yet you took care of us. You took care of us on the way to church this morning, making sure we all got here. You took care of us last night when the storms were coming and the winds and everything blowing. You took care of us. You took care of us, made sure we had something to eat this morning. All these little things, and yet we take it so granted because it's just normal for an American lifestyle. Oh, take something away. We recognize how frail we are, how fragile we are. And Lord, you just want us to trust you. You want us to love you and believe everything you tell us so you can identify who we are. You want us to grow up like a child, recognize who daddy is, recognize we can trust him, and then come to a place where he can trust us and have the testimony, not only to that which pleases the Father. It's your testimony, Lord. Let it be a reality to everyone here, Father. Let that just sink into our hearts, Lord, and that we walk in faith only with that confession, Father. We ask this in your name. Amen.